Holy Spirit, indeed you are great. You are the awesome God. You are the almighty God. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you. Because we know that the Goliath will fall. On our left, on our right, before us, behind us, every Goliath will fall. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Let your word do what only your word can do. Have your way, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Welcome to church again today. It is an awesome time and an awesome season to be in the presence of God. God's word for us this month is that it's the month when we will conquer our Goliaths. The subtitle to the word that God gave me this morning that ties into that overall theme is walking into destiny. Walking into destiny. Before we read scripture this morning, I would like you to permit me to say that no matter how big Goliath is, Goliath will fall. It is not the size of Goliath that determines your victory. It is the fact that God is on your side that establishes our victory. Our victory is not established by the size of our opponents. It is established by the size of our God. Because we serve a God who is greater, then every Goliath will fall. Let me also say to us, as we lay a foundation for what God wants to say to us this morning, that don't ever forget that Goliath is the door to the promise and the beginning of the manifestation of God in your life. Or let me rephrase, is the door to the beginning of the manifestation of God's promise in your life. Romans 8:19 says that the world eagerly awaits the manifestations of the sons of God. And you see, there are things that you must overcome for you to manifest. For light to manifest, it must pass through darkness. If light cannot pass through darkness, it cannot manifest. So when you say something manifests, it means it has to overcome something to show up. And Goliath is just one of those things that God puts in our way to ensure that we show up. Goliath is there to make sure that people recognize you. Can I borrow from the story of David this one? If not for Goliath, nobody would have recognized David. All Goliath was, Goliath was not an obstacle, Goliath was an opportunity. So I'm here to say to someone this morning, God is giving you an opportunity.
Amen.
I said, God is giving you an opportunity.
Amen.
Because we must understand and realize that Goliath is not an obstacle. Goliath is just a bridge. Goliath is the link between where you are now and where God wants to take you to. And until when Goliath falls, you will not cross to the other side of your destiny.
What else can we understand about Goliath?
Goliath is a turning point in our lives. is a turning point moment. It is what we do with Goliath that determines the next phase of our soul. So if we do not handle Goliath correctly, then we will not enter to the next level of our story. Permit me to still borrow from David this morning. David was anointed, but Goliath announced him. He was anointed in secret, but Goliath announced him to the nation. I pray for you this morning that the Goliaths that will announce you, when you encounter them, you overcome them in the name of Jesus. But this morning, I do not feel impressed that we should consider the story of David and Goliath. I would like us to consider a very unique story. And so I would like you to turn your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis chapter 32. Because it is easy sometimes to become stuck in the story of David and Goliath. Don't get a team like concrete or Goliath. But I believe that there are dimensions to Goliath that we need to understand. Because can I say to us that most of the time, the greatest Goliaths we face are the ones that people cannot see. So Genesis chapter 32 introduces us to the story of Esau and Jacob. Or let me say, the part two of the story of Esau and Jacob. Because when you read the earlier chapters of Genesis, in the 26, 27, thereabout, you get introduced to Esau and Jacob. So we read the first 8 verses of Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. I'll read from verse 1 to verse 8. If you found it, say amen.
Amen.
And so Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, and male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you. And 400 men are with him." So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him, and the flocks and herds and camels into 2 companies. And he said, "If Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will escape." Can I give us a little bit of background for those of us who might not remember? Esau and Jacob were twins. They were not just brothers, they were twins. And you know, in growing up, you always told that twins are always closer to each other than anybody. But Esau and Jacob, at this point of this story, were not close to each other. You could practically say they were enemies. And why? Because Esau believed that Jacob took what was rightfully his. But you see, at this point in the story, as we read, the Bible says that Jacob had been in Laban's house. And it is believed he had been in Laban's house for 20 years. But do you understand that 20 years after, Jacob knew that his problem with Esau had not been resolved? I know the English people say time heals all wounds. But I'm sure experience teaches us that time does not heal all wounds. And Esau, and Jacob came to meet Esau, came to the land. He came into his possession. Please do not forget that Jacob was the rightful owner of the covenant. He possessed Canaan. Hello? I hope the Bible story is not becoming too much. But please just show me. Jacob was the rightful owner to the possession of Canaan. Esau was dwelling in the land that belonged to his brother by covenant. But Jacob knew, or Jacob felt when he got to the point of entering into Canaan, that he could not do it if he and Esau did not resolve this issue. For Jacob, Esau was a Goliath. He was an obstacle that he felt and believed that if I do not resolve this thing, this man can kill me. And you have to also appreciate the story, because when you have been away from somewhere for 20 years and you come back, and somebody has been in the place for 20 years, who knows the anger of the one and the other? You don't know the rooms that you should enter, but Esau knew every room in that place. So Jacob knew that even if I enter without this man knowing, somehow he will find me. Hallelujah. So he had a practical problem. He had a real problem. And he was dealing with a Goliath in Esau. But this morning, that's not even where I feel impressed by the Spirit of God for us to focus on. Because we must remember something, that when we are walking into our destiny, and this season that we are in is a season of confrontation. You cannot conquer Goliath if you don't confront Goliath. The enemy you run away from, you cannot defeat. So yes, I know it is an amazing thing to hear that you are conquering Goliath. We are conquering our Goliath. But you see, what God is saying to you also is that you are going to face your Goliath. And that you have to face your Goliath. And as I mentioned, there are three Goliaths in this story that I would like us to focus on. And the first Goliath is the Goliath of the past, or the Goliath of our past. Please don't forget, Goliath cannot be wished away. Jacob couldn't just stand there and say, I pray Esau to disappear. God knows how to pray. Look, there are Goliaths that you don't kill, and you can't kill. You just have to subdue them. Amen. Hallelujah. But the first Goliath I want us to understand that we must deal with in walking into destiny is the Goliath of our past. And you know, I know and I appreciate that we live in a time where we like to talk about the enemies from our father's houses and from our forefathers' houses. And I agree that they exist, do not get me wrong. But you see that for Jacob, the enemy of his past was because of what he did. It was the seeds he planted that turned Esau into his Goliath in his life. It was not that Esau wanted to hate Jacob. If I might put it that way, it was that Jacob did something that made Esau to hate him. And there are roots and there are things that some of us have planted that have grown in our future to become our Goliath. Actions that we have taken, that where we are now, those things have become an obstacle. It is not what somebody did to us, it is what we did to ourselves. You know, there are people that will say, go to someone and say, people don't like me here. Please ask yourself, what did you do there?
We're talking about gossip. I think in that story, I think it was last week. I don't know what it was.
And the question of gossip, and somebody said this. He said, I can't gossip about you if everybody knows that what I'm saying about you is true. If everybody knows you're a thief, and people say, have you noticed a thief? Is that gossip? It is who you are. It is who you are talking to that you are.
And there are some of us that the giants we are dealing with are the giants of our past.
It is what we have done. It is what people are doing to us. And the reason why we are not walking into destiny is not because God did not plan to give us this thing. It is because we have done things that have become a giant to us. As Jacob came to meet Esau, Jacob was coming to face the history of his life. In the presence of Esau, he was looking at what he had done. He couldn't run away. This is what he did. This is who he created. He created the monster. He wasn't Satan that did it. He wasn't his father or his brother. He was the one that created this monster.
The Goliath of our past.
And so when God says to us that we are totally Goliath, what it means for some of us that we have to face our past. There are some of us that we need to go and look at the things we have done. Because the reason why we are where we are now is because of what we have done before. When Jacob came and he was coming to Esau, he knew in his heart that I have to confess what I have done.
I know that it's not easy to confess what we have done.
And some of us, in our life, we like to do this in order to pray away what we have done. Or wish away what we have done. But let me say to you, there are some of us that they need to execute for what we have done.
And I hear God say that there is someone who needs to go and restitute.
Look, restitution might not be you saying, I am sorry, I acknowledge that I didn't. Hello? How many of you know that the time I did this, I have confessed to look at my restitution of this? But you know, I'm not going to tell you, the good who do this thing? And what is the answer? It's not me. You know you are the one, but you have never said it is me. And therefore, you need to admit it. It is me. I did it. Because the reason why Goliath is connecting us is not because that we are not protective, it's because we are completely admit that we did it.
I don't know if you ever experienced a situation where you did something wrong. And every time you go to that place, you remember what you did. I mean, I remember many years ago, I did something wrong my friend's houses. And his mother caught me. I didn't go to that house for 2 years.
Our house is just next door. It's not just my legs on it. What happened? Just come out and go. I didn't go. I don't think I was up to 10 years, but I knew that if I go, this woman will talk about it. So I refused.
I waited. I was thinking in my mind, she will forget. The day I walked into her house, she just greeted me and said, oh, you're very welcome. They said, hey, that thing you did. There are things in our past that you cannot run away from.
You must face them. You know why you can face them? Because the Bible says, I think you will try to do it. All things are passed away. So that thing does not have the power to destroy you, but you must tell it, I am no longer
Because the demons were in God's face, the demons were saved.
So we have to deal with the Goliath of our past. And it's important because you see that error takes you away from your destiny. There are errors in our past that take us away from God's destiny for us. Look, if you understand the story in Genesis chapter 27, in Genesis chapter 27, verse 41 to 43, Genesis 27, 41 to 43. Hallelujah. The Bible says, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her son, younger son, and said to him, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran. It was the So Jacob ran, not because he didn't love his father's house. He ran because he had done something that become a Goliath and obstacle to him. But I have good news for someone here. And God said, I should tell you, it is not your history that determines your destiny. It is God's promise upon your life that determines your destiny. It is not a man's history that determines his destiny. It is God's promise upon his life that determines his destiny. Psalm 40 verse 7 says, of the body of the fool is concerning your life of. It is the volume of books that are written concerning me that determine the course of my life. In Genesis chapter 12, 28, from verse 12 to 16, you will see the blessing of God upon Jacob. When Jacob was leaving and going to Laban's house, God said to him, I will keep you and I will bring you back. I will make sure that you go in peace. I will make sure that you come back in peace. But as lazy as that doctor, he needed to remind himself. Can I ask this question? Do you know what God's promise upon your life is? Your own promise. Not our promise. Your promise. The one God said to you, the one that you can say to anybody, I know who I believe because this is what God said about me. Please continue to say, there are too many of us Christians who don't know God's promise for us. You are using everybody's promise. There is a limit to which everybody's promise can work for you. Because when you get to the junction of your life, when you need to decide for yourself, you cannot ask everybody. Because all of us are not going to do this. But when a man knows God's promise for his life, it becomes easier for that man to deal with the errors of his past. And don't be deceived, everybody has a past. Some people have just outgrown their past by the grace of God. So when you see people talking as if they don't have history, don't mind them.
Just follow them to their inner chamber. They will tell you their issue.
And I know all of us have different histories, but every history is a history. And no error is greater than the other. Amen. And I still feel impressed to say to someone this morning, look, God's covenant upon your life didn't start with you. You might think that, oh, I'm the first person to come born again with the family. Go and check your family history very well. Because that most likely there was somebody that God made a covenant with before you. And because of that, don't let that covenant die with you. Even if you are the first person, don't let the covenant die with you. And that is why you must confront Goliath, because if you don't confront Goliath, that covenant will die with you. God doesn't make covenants for one person. He makes covenants for generations. The second Goliath that we encounter in this story is the Goliath of fear. And I'm sure that is not hard to understand. The Bible says in that Genesis chapter 32, verse 6 and 7. Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Let me stop there. Who are you? Jacob didn't have 400 men. So it is like saying he knew Esau was coming with an army. And he looked at himself and his people. He didn't see an army. You know, when you talk to Esau, it's easy to say, keep my people in PSN. Some of us, when you see cockroach, the house cannot contain you. I've seen people that, you know, I've seen people that, you know, they'll see spider. And you see them jump and looking for the nearest table, nearest bed, nearest chair. And you're looking at, it's only a spider now. Don't worry, he knows why. The person knows why they're afraid of. They know what they're afraid of. It is you that don't understand. And go and check it. Usually your fear is a product of your history. Almost every fear a man has a link to their history. There is something that happened in their life that birthed fear in them. Have you ever seen someone that is afraid of dogs? Ask them, what happened to you and your dog when you were young? They usually will have a story. I went to my friend's house and their dog pursued me. I hope they are. But God will give you power to overcome your fears. I said, God will give you power to overcome your fears. Let me say to you, you must understand that in walking into destiny, you will receive reports that will make you afraid. You can't walk in life and want to walk into God's blessing for your life, and people will say things to you. Nobody has ever done it before. Nobody in our family has ever done it before. You are the first person that has ever tried it before. I do not know what you need in it. I do not know what you need.
There will always be a reason to be afraid. Always. But fear is not glad to be afraid.
As powerful as fear is,
fear is a mirage. A mirage is something that is not real. Something that it looks real, but it's not real. You know, I remember when I was reading the knowledge of my teacher, I had this thing in my mind, what will it be like? And I said, I don't know. My mind started creating all this. I just started thinking of things. Maybe if I go ahead. I know when you're not into high institution, university or polytechnic, you think that they are still seniors. And if you went to a secondary school, your seniors punish you a lot. You start creating it. Primary school, the punishment was small. Secondary school, the punishment increased. Hey, that means in this high university or polytechnic. It's only when people speak truth to you that your head clears. And that's the kind of thing that happened to me. I was just thinking. But when I go to the university, I realized that the university is the heavy man for itself. God for us all. Nobody knows you. Nobody cares about you. You will stay in a room and you say, the final year student in the room, and you say, bro, how that? And if you offend you, say, I will fall, I will beat you on this place, and everyone will see certain things. You can't tell you to do that.
For those of you that go to secondary school, university, I'm telling you now, so that nobody will go and deceive you and tell you to kneel down. People don't kneel down in high institution. Unless it's your lecturer. Just kneel down for the sake of peace. But when reports come to you, and men say to you, look, you can't do this. Nobody has ever done it before. Even when you tell yourself, I can't do this. The secret is to submit your report to the right place. The Bible says that when they told Jacob, if you read verse 9, he said, then Jacob began to pray. He said, oh God. He began to express himself to God. Where do you submit your report?
Isaiah said, whose report will you believe?
I thank God I've never had the privilege of this, of this kind of experience, but I know someone who, when I was in university, a lecturer looked at him and said, I know you're not that brother, and he doesn't do Christianity like this. Why is that you go to school and you're just going for fellowship, every day prayer meeting, He said, as long as I'm in this school, you will not that good. And the young man said, oh, okay, so he went back to the fellowship and said, oh, this is my brother and this man. The man said, as long as I'm in this school, you will not that good. And he started to pray. And before the end of that semester, the man was sad. And he graduated with his mates on time. Where do you submit your reports? Because fear is a reality, whether we like it or not. We live in a situation like that. You know, God said something to me, and I'd like to share. He said, if you don't like being spoken about, if you don't like people gossiping you, you are not ready for your destiny. Part of you entering to your destiny is people will gossip you. Even God gossiped Job. Thank you for that. People that laugh, got it. People that didn't laugh, you are too spiritual for me. Because even God said to Satan, he said, did you see Job? Apropos, who sent you? But you know one thing, God knew that
obstacle was a blessing for Job.
So if you are afraid and you don't want people to, I don't want people to talk about me, then you are not ready to enter into destiny. Because people who enter into destiny will always be spoken about. Somebody said that whether you do or you don't do, people will talk about you. Maybe I should borrow our senator's. He said, if you talk, you die. If you don't talk, you die. So talk and die. What is it? So if you go, you will die. If you don't go, you will die. Just go. Don't worry, you will not die. Because God is with you, you cannot die. The thing with fear is this, that when you come to meet your brother, the glory of your fears, fear has a way of robbing you of the things that belong to you. And it makes you to bow down to those whom you should be bowing down to. Look at that verse. I think it's the end of verse 7 or verse 8. Verse 7, I believe it is. Okay, no, verse 5. He says, from verse 4, he talked about him. Jacob sent the servant with the sheep and everything. Look at the last phrase. He said, that I may find favor in your sight. He didn't need favor from Esau. Hello? Understand me? I didn't say Esau was not favoring him. Do you realize that he was submitting himself to somebody whom he had been given authority over? Genesis chapter 27, verse 27. Because, like, you don't understand what I'm saying. Genesis 27, verse 27. This was part of the blessing, or 29, sorry. This is part of the blessing that Jacob was blessed with. His father said upon him, he said, let peoples serve you. Not people, peoples. Nations, let them serve you. And nations bow down to you. Be master over your brothers. And let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. He already carried favor that nobody could steal. Yet he was going to bow down to somebody who did not carry the favor he had. Balance. It doesn't mean you should disrespect people. Because when you saw this, they saw you. You go and I went one video of one young man that went to the last office. He said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Don't do that, please. If they sack you, I will follow and sack you. Because you carry people, doesn't mean you should disrespect people. But you want to meet because you understand who you are. The blessing gives authority. But when a man is walking in fear, he begins to submit to the things that you submit to. Yeah, she has told me, when my dad was alive, anytime he's traveling with his driver, and a bird flies in front of the car, now he's like, ah, let's go. My father told me, he said, look, you won't drive again. Before one day, he just drive us and I asked him, I said, okay. He said, every bed cannot come from the village. Every bed? How many of you have traveled and the beds are flying from the village? How many of you would drive the car? And you say, bed flying from the car? There are two people. Like, who don't drive this? Imagine that the first guy said, hey, I find you the road. The second one comes. Every day, you have plenty of energy. You build yourself to be driven because, for you to have no more of enemies, you are looking for trouble. How can every person that knows you not like you? But do you understand that sometimes we submit ourselves to things that God has given us to do?
I was telling someone, I said, it's unfortunate, but I've come to believe that more Christians, most Christians fear Satan than the devil.
Because,
do you know how I know? Because whom you fear is whom you actually worship.
And there are some of us that when you say, if you talk about God, we treat God anyhow. But if you talk about Satan, if you talk about Satan,
if you want me to be sure, one day I want to try it. Just for a good calabash. Don't say anything. Put leaves and put chalk on top. Majority of us, you will come to church like this. As you enter that you are seeing me, you will create an excuse. I just remember, my own all you. Even though the Lord is all of that, you will create all that and you will call us. Instead of coming and taking authority, you start to walk. Because fear makes you a servant to those who you should know.
So in this season, we must confront our fears. Not in our power. In the power of the Lord Almighty. The third Goliath that we must confront as we walk into destiny is the Goliath of self. The Goliath of self. In that Genesis chapter 32 from verse 22 to 29, the Bible makes it clear that Jacob had an encounter with God. And can I say to us that the most important confrontation a man can have is to be able to see himself via the eyes of God. Until you come to a place where you and God have a confrontation, a meeting where you can see how God sees you, you will fight giants and you will always lose.
To borrow from the story of David again, the reason why David did not submit to Goliath was not because he was superhuman, it was because he said to Goliath, I know the God who I'm fighting for. I know the covenant upon Israel, and I know who this God is.
When a man begins to walk himself, one of the things you realize that he begins to determine the value of his life and what accrues to him by his efforts. So the measure of what he desires is always, for him, is always comparable to the effort he puts in. And don't misunderstand me. Effort is good. Hard work is good. But there are many hard workers that will work hard for the rest of their life. And this is what God wants me to say to us this month. That effort is amazing and effort is important. But you see, until when your effort lines up with the God's will and purpose for your life, your effort will always be a wasted one. You can do all you know and still not achieve anything. Because one of the things I've learned in my life, even from the beginning of my life, is that there's always somebody that knows something you don't know. You know the difference between the tertiary students and the other level is what you know, what they know and you don't know. And you always realize that those tertiary students, I was sharing, I said they have this habit. They always collect all the books in the library before you come.
and check verses. For you to say this, I'm not a judge. I can say it because I'm among the categories of the ones under. So this is my judgment. They are selfish. This is not the word of God. This is my judgment. Selfish people. I was telling them, I told them, I was investing. I went to invest money, but I went to library. I looked for books about investing. Anything. I said, do this at our library. We don't want to have books. Then semester finished. Then my friend said, let's go to the library. Then all the books I was looking for, all of them were on the shelf. We kept them from the wrong places. So there were things that we didn't know. So next time I come, he will talk. You look on that side. Then, this doesn't make sense. It is one person that wanted to get the slide that brought all the book. So when they said something, he will say yes, yes. But what did happen? How do you know it? He borrowed the book.
But until when effort meets the secrets of God, the man will show me. You will live like one that is punching the air. You keep doing and doing and doing. And you will not ever enter into the next level of life. Because there is a secret that God has that unlocks the next level of every man's life.
And no two people can have the same secret. There is something that works for you that doesn't work for another person. I've always been someone that desired the presence of God and the power of God. And I shared the story. And there was a time when my dad, I took time out and I did a 40-day fast. I watched a man preach and he said he did a 40-day fast. And at the end of the 40-day fast, God's power rested upon him. I said, yes, this is it. So I did a 40-day fast. I didn't go to my house.
Praying, reading my Bible, decreeing power under my life. Can I not clean my face again?
40 days finished! And I got the same way.
And I was like, And then I said to God, the power of
our God said, did I send you?
He said, I didn't send you. I said, I accept your fast, but I didn't send you. I didn't promise you power after 40 days. I didn't understand it until...
I think some years ago, I was listening to Papa, he was preaching to the redeemed pastor, and he said that when he desired power, God said to him, start where Jesus started from. So he said, okay, so he brought water. And he wanted to pour water into wine. And God said, that's not where Jesus started from. So he went back to his Bible. He now realized that he must have been short about the 40 days fast. He said he had never done a 40 days dry fast before. So he told God, he said, God. He said, why God said you are the one that's looking for something? This is it. So he said, okay, so he started.
He said, and he finished. And God's power came upon him. He now said to the pastor, he now said to his pastor, he said,
the 40 days fast was for Enoch Adeboye. It was not for you. Your own might not be a 40 days fast. So whatever it is God tells you to do to receive power, what you should do. There is a secret a man must connect to that makes his effort elevated beyond his ability.
And the only way to contact that secret is when you confront the Goliath of yourself. If you understand, because you see, Jacob was seeking to fulfill God's word. What did that say, Jacob?
Rebecca was trying to help God fulfill God's word upon his life. Abraham did the same thing. God said, I will give you a child. They waited and waited and waited. Sarah said, don't you think we should just use Hagar? Who would like that?
He was looking for a child. He was going to get a second wife. There is no man that doesn't like it. Or let me just like that. There are few men that don't like that kind of thing. And he took the opportunity. But you see, he opened a door that God didn't want him to open. Because he didn't need to find a way to help God fulfill his word. God is able to fulfill his word all by himself. Moses came and did the same thing too. We human beings don't learn. Your forefather did it, your grandfather did it, your sister did it, you still didn't learn. You are still going to do the same thing. I pray, may we not fall into the errors of our hearts.
Because Moses came and God, the Bible says he understood that he was meant to deliver Israel.
But he didn't ask God, how am I supposed to deliver Israel? He decided to use the wisdom of self. I mean, strong man in this nation. Historically, it is believed that Moses was going to become the next Pharaoh. He was in the running to become the next Pharaoh. So he was like, okay, I can't, these are my people. But that was not God's will. Because the probability is that, for example, Moses had become Pharaoh and he set Egypt free. Egypt won't leave, Israel won't leave because our brother is in. Do you know why God did not put some people in the position of power for you? Because he knows that if he puts them there, he will not move.
There are some of us, if God gave us that promotion, we will keep reducing our age every year.
You know what I'm talking about? Some of you know that. So every time they say they are doing their verification, your age will be less than the last one. I remember when we did verification where I worked last, I went for the news, I looked myself in the room. And then the man who was in charge, I knew somebody, he said, Papa, everybody knows him, call him Papa. Everybody knows him. He said, when the man brought his affidavit of that one man called as declaration of age. He said, the man looked at him and said, Papa, are you trying to say I'm older than you? And Papa busted out laughing. Because he was trying to hold on to something that God could give you. Are you holding on to things that God can give you? So God is saying, let it go. They say, no. Until I see this other one, God said, let it go. I am able to give you more than what you are holding on to. So people are praying in prayers because they don't believe that God can give them a blessing greater other than prayer.
Look, God will never shut a door in your life if he doesn't have a gate he wants you to walk through. When God closes a door, it is not because he doesn't have a plan. It is because his plan is greater.
But you must let go of yourself.
How do I know self manifests? Because some of us, we are
moping too much. We mope too much. We are always sad. We are stuck where we were last, where God was happened to us last. And God is saying, just come. And like, look, God, this thing still pain me. But God is saying, just come with the pain. I know what to do. But you're saying, no, this thing is paining me. Please, just go. Let go of yourself, of your understanding, of your imagination.
The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, because the understanding of man is limited. Understanding is how you impart something. And until we deal with the Goliath of ourselves, we will keep fighting God for what God has already promised us. But in dealing with ourselves, we must also come to a place of separation. When you read that Genesis chapter 32, read verse 22 of that scripture. The Bible says in that part of the scripture that Jacob arose and he sent his wives, his children. He divided them. But in verse 24, he said, the Bible says, and then Jacob was left alone. In dealing with ourselves, there's a place where God brings you when you are alone. Please allow me to say to you and to myself also, loneliness is not always a cause. It is an opportunity. Being alone is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to confront things that you cannot confront when you are there. I'm pastor sometimes, and I feel that way. I just wanted to be alone, and I don't know where is daddy, and I was wondering, am I owing you money? And they went to all the rooms, they opened this door, he's not here.
They came out there, you know, just in the mouth. But they finally came to the way I was, they opened it up. And they just came, and I said, this is not a meeting place. You didn't come here for this. I said, I didn't call you to sleep. They said, yes. Then he went out. After some few minutes, one of them came back and opened the door. Didn't say anything to me. Just closed the door, came to sit down. I said, what is it? Say nothing, I just want to sit down. But you know that there are secrets you can never get in public. You can only get them when you're alone. How many of you ever dreamt in public? You are dreaming. You dream well. When you sleep. When you sleep, how many of you are sleeping? It's only you. Do you know whether the other person is asleep? No. There are secrets of life that come to you. When you are separated.
So God is bringing some of us to a place of separation.
It is not a punishment, it's an opportunity.
Because when God separates you from people, He is providing an opportunity to manifest Himself to you in a way you have never seen before. When He separates you from what you are used to, He's trying to give you something that you are not used to before. You know, let's not lie. One of the hardest things to deal with in life is loss. Whether it is human loss, an opportunity, whether it is a job, whether it is a mission, it is hard. But when a man loses something and God is involved, God will always reveal Himself to that man in a greater way.
But with the man, wait. For God.
It is people that think that I must always have what I want so that God can show me He loves me. God does not need to give you everything you want to show you that He loves you. God will always give you what you need because that's what a good parent does.
As I tie up this morning,
you know that you have come to the end of yourself when you are wrestling with God, not for the things that you want to have, but so that you can come in line with His will.
One of the things that I believe, I'm sorry, this is actually my personal opinion, but I really believe in it because I've encountered many people, is I always believe that one of the highest levels of prayer is when they say, pray to God for something that you desire. You're not asking Him for a thing. You're asking Him for Him. That your prayer is about God, your prayer is not about something. I'm not saying it's bad. That's why I say one of the highest levels. Because I believe that when you come to a place where you understand that God is everything that you need, then when people ask you, ask God for something, you won't be asking God for a particular thing, you'll be asking God for food. Because you know, once God arrives, everything else will go.
But a man who still is so focused on himself tends to always ask God for things.
He's asking God to confront this person, to deal with that demon, to deal with that person. It is all about where we are in our life. But as you grow and you're growing out of yourself, you come to a point where you realize that I don't need to face these people, I just need to face God. Because when I face God, when I encounter them, God would have turned their hate to favor. You understand something? The Bible says that Jacob sent the sheep and the everything he had to ask for favor before Esau. But he fought with God, if you raise that phrase. He wrestled with God, and when he came out of it, Esau didn't connect them. He didn't need to give Esau even to get favor. God had gone ahead of him to give favor. So the people you are begging for favor, maybe it is not them you need to be begging. You are begging the wrong person. It is when you think that a man is the how do I put it? Without a man, you cannot get so. That's why they are willing to do anything for a man to give you what he has. But when you understand that the God who is on your side is the one who knows what the man and the thing the man is holding,
you must confront the Goliath of self. I want. Me, myself, and I. Permit me to say, selfishness is a curse. Selfishness is what? The people that are selfish won't say it. But selfishness is a curse. So round about, we're going to pray this morning. Let me say this to us, that destiny is the difference between a life of fulfillment and a life of frustration. When a man comes into destiny, he lives a life of fulfillment. As long as he's outside his destiny, he will always live a life of frustration. Everything around him will seem as if it's not working. And so as we go into this season that God has spoken to us, it is a season of possession, but it is a season of confrontation also. Because there is no possession without confrontation. And in confronting it is not the people that are the first things you need to deal with. You need to first come and deal with certain issues. The Goliath of error, the Goliath of our past. Some of us, we need to go and confront those things. We need to deal with the Goliath of our fears. There are some of us that don't serve God because we are afraid. If I serve God, maybe you're even here and God has said to you, I want you to serve me. I want you to quit your job, leave your business, come and do your ministry and say, I have a wife, I have children, I have seen what some of pastors go through, and everything you've said is not a lie. But the God who calls is the God who is faithful. And some of us, even God has said, don't go there, don't take that job, don't do that. And you say, no, if I don't do it, how will I know? And then you take it. And now you are a servant to things you shouldn't be a servant to. Not every opportunity is from God. Or let me rephrase, not every opportunity is of God. Because something looks like it, they'll say all that glitters is not gold. I pray for us this morning that we will not live a life of frustration. I just like us to rise on our feet as we pray. We're going to be praying for ourselves. And there are two prayers that I'd like us to pray this morning. Two main things I'd like us to focus on. And the first prayer I'm going to pray for ourselves today is this: that God give me grace to face what I need to face. The grace to confront the Goliath I need to confront. The grace to face the enemy for the obstacles I need to face. Maybe you are here and you need to write an exam so that you can face it. There is grace available. I like what you said about voice this morning. I want you to pray for yourself. That God give me grace. The grace to face what I need to face. Some of us, we need to restitute. You are supposed to go back to God and say, I'm sorry. But you are ashamed. You are afraid. Some of us, you are afraid of what is coming next. So you need grace. You need grace because where you are, you don't know what is next. But you need grace to face what is ahead of you. I want you to pray for yourself. Father, give me grace. Grace to face what I need to face. The Goliath I need to confront, give me grace to face them. The giants I need to face, give me grace to face them. The grace to face myself. The grace to face the Goliath of fears. The grace to face the Goliath of errors of the past. One of the things that God has brought to our attention today is the fact that some of the Goliaths we are facing are things that we planted. It is not somebody that did it. It is not somebody that, not because of, it is what you have planted. I want to pray for your neighbor, and I think to your neighbor, that every planting that is growing up into a Goliath in our life, in our lives, to be offended in the name of Jesus. You want to speak into their life. Every Goliath, every seed that has been planted, every tree that is turning into a Goliath, that's not that God's happened. Everything that is turning into a Goliath in their life, that God has been planted with their hands, you will uproot it in the name of Jesus. It will be uprooted in the name of Jesus. Relationships that they need to be uprooted. Associations that need to be uprooted. Decisions that need to be uprooted. In its way. Thank you.
In its sweet way. In the last 5 years, something happened to you in the last 5 years, and it has brought you down. It has not like brought you to your knees. It has humbled you from a little bit. You feel defeated. Just in the past 5 years. And God said He wants to plant the seeds of recovery in your life. So we're not saying that there's going to be that if you come and you are ministering to Him, He said He will begin to turn it around. He will tell you what to do. He will give you secrets that will turn it around. But he said it's between the last 5 years. So I'm saying what happened between 2014 up to this point in your life. We want to sing a song, and when we sing, you can come out. But the last 5 years, another group of people, God wants us to pray for this morning. God said, if there's someone or there are people here, your prayer is that God, I want you to turn the heart of this person towards me in favor. You have been looking for favor in a particular place with a particular person for a particular reason. I do not know what, but God said you have been asking God, turn this person's heart to me. Maybe it's even that you ask somebody to marry and the person said no. But you are sure this is who God wants you to marry. God said, if you are here and you want, that is your prayer. Turn this person's heart to me so that I can possess my possession. You are not asking for what belongs to somebody else. You are asking for what God told you belongs to you. But there is this person that you know that without this person, I cannot trust. This thing will not work. You are not praying for the person to die. You are praying that God turn this person's heart to me. Last group of people that I feel impressed in my spirit at this point that God wants us to pray for. God said, and He reinforced it to my mind as I was speaking this morning, said, there are people in church today. There is a particular event, or there are things that happen in your life, and every time you think about those things, you always feel as if there's something I did. I think maybe it's not like this, so that's why I'm experiencing this thing. You always feel like the result of where you are is a product of a particular thing. You know that thing. It comes to your mind every time. And you are living in fear because you feel, or maybe you have not even expressed it, but you remember something and keep saying to yourself, I hope this thing will come back to affect me. I hope this thing will come back to affect me. And you are there as well. And that thing is tormenting you. You've tried everything you know, and you know it is tormenting you. But you want God to set you free.
God said, you will hear. And there's a root in that, you feel that that root is in that part of your life. And you want it uprooted. And you can just come home. You know what it is.
It's not a general thing. You know what it is. You can point to it and say, I'm afraid that this thing will affect me negatively. We're going to sing that song 2 times. For those of us who are in front, please just pray for yourself. You know why you are praying, so just pray for yourself and why you are standing here.
Yes,
oh, you see.